Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today my guest is author Jeff Roberts. Jeff has just released his first book titled Little Stories, and this is a collection of 11 short stories reflecting his eye on human nature. Jeff Roberts received his Bachelor of Science in Chemistry from the University of Illinois in 1984, his Master's in Finance in 1997 from University of Kansas, and just recently his Bachelor of Liberal Studies in Writing from the University of Iowa in May of 2008. Little Stories actually began as a compilation of short stories he wrote at the University of Iowa, many of which were published in undergraduate journals. With the addition of 5 new stories, this anthology was recently published by Outskirts Press. Jeff is a father of 2 teenagers and currently resides in Kansas City, Missouri. And for more information on him, you can visit his website, outskirtspress.com/J Roberts. So welcome to the program, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
Well, good. Well, congratulations. This is your first book, and I know it's the first of many to come.
Are you psychic or clairvoyant?
No. Intuitive.
Okay, good.
So tell us, I'm curious how your interest in writing began and how it seems to me that this actually is what led you to going back to school and getting your degree at the University of Iowa.
Well, it wasn't quite that way. Back when I got out of Illinois in 84, I was pretty much a ne'er-do-well. And when I got on down the road a bit more, I started reading rather voraciously everything I got my hands on. Fast forward about 10 more years, and I got divorced and had some little kids at home. So I had 9 o'clock would come around, and I wouldn't be able to do much because they were in bed, so I would. I had a disdain for network TV, so I started taking these classes at Iowa. And the liberal studies degree really is just a general degree that gives you access to everything, so I said, well, shoot, maybe I can try out the writer's workshop. So through that program, I started taking writer's workshop programs, and really, originally, I did it just because I enjoyed reading. I figured, well, shoot, if I'm going to really understand the written word, I should probably write some stuff and get criticisms and see, a little bit from the other side how the process goes. Well, as the classes went on, I got pretty good feedback, and some of the stories were published in little student journals and things. And then Dr. Carol Lowland, one of my professors, got a job at a publishing house when she got her PhD, and she said, oh, this is good stuff. Why don't we just publish it? So there was actually a first version that came out, which I did run of 150, I think it was, which I then sent out to all my friends for a Christmas present a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I had maybe 6 or 7 stories from that run, and I thought, well, shoot, why don't we just try to publish the thing? So I wrote 5 or 6 new ones and went with Outskirts, and that's what you hold in your hands now.
Well, that's really fascinating. So you actually hadn't been a real writer. That wasn't something that was a passion for you up until recently.
Well, I don't know. I think the real writer is kind of an overstatement, but one thing. As I said, I never actually planned on trying to sell the thing, but
mm-hmm.
I got really good feedback from the first run and put a few smiles on faces at Christmas, so I thought we may as well try to share it with a little bit larger audience and see what comes of it.
Yeah, absolutely. The reviews are really fantastic that you're getting, so I think you're definitely onto something. I read somewhere that when asked about your reading audience, your reply was that if someone had ever fallen in love or was betrayed or buried a relative or got too drunk or made bad decisions, that you think that they would really enjoy your book. So it seems like, these are what you're writing is about is real life and maybe some of the not-so-pretty sides of being human.
Yeah, it's kind of like a 19th-century writer's outlook. I mean, now we have vampire stories, and there's all these rich lawyers that are in these crazy adventures and all these pieces of life that I can't really, take part in, so I just kind of have to draw from what I have, which is just kind of the everyday stuff and kind of look for a few nuggets of gold in that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the extra 5 the original stories that were part of your studies with the University of Iowa, obviously they would have been projects that you did for school or for work. Now, the five extras that you wrote about, how did you decide what other stories to write about?
Well, one of them, interesting enough, I was at 7-Eleven here in Kansas City, backing out of the parking lot, and I was not paying attention, changing music, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and there was this kind of goth woman that was basically on top of my rear bumper, and she kind of looked in the mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and we made this scary deer-in-the-headlight eye contact, and so that kind of just set my mind wandering, and I wrote the second story, Across the Perspective, an hour later, after nearly running over a teenager, so... Just kind of things that happened thereafter when I was found it interesting to kind of examine it. It's kind of, you know, you're kind of stepping into my mind and I'm looking at things.
So generally then all of these stories actually are directly related to some of your own personal experiences.
I wouldn't say that. I don't think there's anything called true fiction or true nonfiction. I think there are all kinds of some sort of spectrum between the two. So I fear that they lean towards the nonfiction side, but at the same time, some of that's just me thinking out loud and taking things to hyperbole and looking at them and just kind of making them interesting and that type of way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard also that you kind of consider this book a bit of a photo album.
Yeah, that was kind of what I thought. I'm kind of looking around in here and here's these things that happened to me, and I was hoping that maybe, you know, you might see some things that you can draw into your life and figure out maybe you too.
And relate to. Well, I think the relatable factor in your writing is really the emotion and the character drive that you have. You know, you are very, very perceptive when it comes to human nature. And I'm wondering, have you always had that awareness, or is this something that's been kind of showing up as you've been continuing to write and, you know, kind of at the beginning of your writing career right now?
Well, my ex-wife would argue otherwise, but I guess I've always been kind of, you know, I saw an article one time where they had one of the New York Times columnists was giving a speech to these journalists and saying, you know, if you're a journalist, you go to the presidential, you know, nominating convention and you're not part of it. You have to step back from it and write about it and get mixed up in it and experience it, but you can't really be part of it. And so I guess I've always had this little side where I was always the little boy looking around the corner kind of watching things from the kids' table and making notes and saying, well, that's interesting, and look how that happens, and that's kind of a fun thing that person's doing. So, you know, I think that from my perspective, yes, but I think if you took to those around me, they may not agree with you.
So what does your writing process look like? I mean, do you sit down and just write a whole story, or do you put pieces together? How does that all come together for you?
That kind of varies from story to story. Sometimes I have an ending, and I say, well, shoot, let's make a plausible path to get there. And other times, well, here's a couple of interesting situations we might put side by side. And, you know, it just varies from story to story.
Mm-hmm.
The muse talks in different ways, I suppose you'd say.
Interesting. So what are your thoughts on the comments that we're hearing that your stories or this book is dark and moody? What do you think about that?
Well,
it's kind of a dark and moody cover.
I think that grows out of the nature of the stories. A lot of them are written at Iowa, and you say, well, you have 5,000 words. So you have to, you know, it's like watching there's a lot of lawyer programs and a lot of medical programs on TV, because in the first 10 minutes you can make this terrible situation. Here's this person who's really sick or this murderer and all stuff, and then you can, in 40 minutes, kind of take this person to this path, and then you can tie it up at the end. Well, if I have 5,000 words, you want to create tension, interesting characters, and you have to very quickly end it. So I can write a story about, oh, me and my girlfriend had a delicious dinner, and we watched TV, and we love each other, and we, you know, boring. So the nature of the medium is you have to kind of create tension real quick. And unfortunately, or fortunately, dark and moody trauma, bad situations, very quickly gets the reader's interest. So next spring I'll probably start on the novel, and we'll try a different type of story, but so far they're all 5,000 to 7,000 words. It's kind of a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting format to start with, because it really makes you keep everything together tight and to the point, whereas in a novel you have so much room to just explore other paths and different characters, and so it's an interesting format to start with, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess with my you know, I haven't taken the training wheels off yet, so I guess this gives me a little bit of structure that I can't, I have to write with economy and minimize things. So I guess the next one I'll take the training wheels off and we'll see if I fall down or not.
See what happens. Well, that's great. You have already a novel planned. Do you have an idea of what this novel is going to be about, or is it just that you want to write a full length?
Yeah, actually, I actually love New York, and I guess when my daughter is a sophomore, gets into college, I may move there just because I like the town. But
New York City.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Every time I've been in New York, I've always met a waiter or waitress at the table. And, you know, no one out there goes to New York to be a waiter or waitress. They're always this person who, well, we came out here and we did 10 casting calls a week for the first week and try to get this job. And really, I'm an actress, so I'm just waiting now until I'm a big break. And then after about 6 months, they do about 2 casting calls a week. They've got a nice apartment and a bunch of bills. And 10 years later, they're doing 1 casting call every 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and they're a permanent waiter. So it's kind of like those people slowly giving up their dreams, but they still have the pretension of what led them there. So I have this kind of little story about a unhappy Midwestern guy about 46 who goes out there and meets a waitress, and they kind of discuss their lost dreams and a kind of a surprising ending that will include a friend of mine who had a horrible demise that I'll bring into that. So,
oh, interesting.
That's what's kind of percolating.
So are you putting yourself into that story?
Of course not.
Of course not.
Nothing about me.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll leave that for the reader to judge.
Yeah, there you go.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
ReaderViewsKids.com is an amazing website where you can actually read book reviews created by kids themselves. Major reviewers and most online reviewers have adults reviewing children's books. Not only that, adults write the children's books, adults publish the children's books, and adults decide which books the children will read. See where I'm going with this? Sounds like it's a little imbalanced, and ReaderViewsKids has wanted to bring the children back into the picture. Check out ReaderViewsKids.com and read their opinions today. You may be amazed at what they have to say. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Jeff Roberts, author of Little Stories. You can find out more about Jeff through his website, outskirtspress.com/jroberts. So tell us what you find to be the biggest challenge when it comes to writing.
I guess the biggest challenge is just the sitting down and doing it. I could think of good stories all day, but, you know, then there's work, and there's the kids, and there's, oh, there's draw the bar and all this stuff, and it's kind of a lone thing you have to sit down in the back room and do and not be distracted. So I think it's not the sitting down doing it, it's the carving out the time to sit down and do it, and then once it's done, if you're not happy with it, I don't do a lot of superfluous writing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me just sit down, write a story, and do that. So I haven't done the longer narrative that would lend itself to editing and rewriting and stuff, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like next spring's adventure.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting adventure. So what are you anticipating for areas that you may really need to step out of your comfort zone for that next project?
I think maybe I may have to leave characters from my life behind and kind of just invent more characters more imaginatively.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you really trove through my book, you might find some connection back to... Besides those people who've already mad at me because they're in the book, those who don't know they're in there are probably dealing in more straight fiction will be more of a push for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you tell us about one of the stories that are in Little Stories that kind of pertains to your life? Give us a bit of a rundown of what your stories are about by telling us about one of them.
Well, like the first story, Relativity. The story itself is kind of a romantic play that happened to me many moons ago, and but it kind of came to the interesting part is when you're on your first date and you know you're finishing dinner and you're waiting for that first kiss, time just flies by. I mean, you look up and my God, it's dessert, and my goodness, we're back in the car, and oh well, are we gonna go in the house or not? But in those kind of situations, time just seems to fly by at the speed of sound, and then. Other times, oh, we had this big fight, and this person is out in the town and, she was somebody else and everything, time just seems to creep by. I mean, just you can almost hear the ticking of the clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that story was kind of roughly a situation I was part of, that I was kind of looking at those two side by side. There's a story called The Red and the Black, my apologies, Stendhal Estate. That one, I was kind of interested in how people in a hospital, I mean, people that just had a baby, they're all happy, it's like a party atmosphere, and the next room there may be someone dying. And in that one, it's the most depressing, tragic atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we might put those two side by side just to compare and contrast them. And so that one came, while my daughter was born a couple, 3 years after my grandfather died, there's kind of a loose connection between those two and that one.
Mm, interesting. Do you have a favorite in this collection?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
As I said at some other interview, my favorite is whatever's your favorite. It's like the old question, which one of your kids do you love most?
Yes. Yeah. So I hear that you're actually still in school. You're taking art classes?
Well, yeah, on this next, the two stories I just described is looking at time and emotion and contrasting the different ways they kind of, are experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also interested in music, how a blue is a cool kind of this mood color, and an A minor chord might be that. So I'm flirting with making the novel next spring a New York City painter who, is out of art school and trying to get a gallery show and watching her life kind of pass her by, and some musician who never made it. And I want them to basically have a kind of drunk and crazy night in Manhattan and then wake up in Brooklyn and kind of go over the wreckage of their lives,
yeah,
and compare the experience of color with sound, with sensations,
wow,
with all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a very interesting project. So the classes you're taking are somewhat research for you.
Well, and learn. I mean,
mm-hmm,
I'm taking art class right now, and, that's like learning German or French. You want to talk about hue or value or tint and all this stuff. So I'm taking it with the idea of maybe learning a second language kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're a lifelong learner, Jeff.
Why wouldn't you be?
I don't know. I
have this terrible fear that I'll be 50 years old watching network TV, and then I don't want to
flicking channels.
I wasted those 2 years, so.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. It sounds like you're a very creative person. So I'm wondering how important it is for you and this creativity to really explore these different depths of who you are.
Well, I think just through experience of this type of learning and taking on new tasks, you kind of learn a little bit about yourself, and you have a little more respect for other people who do such things. I think the other thing is I'm easily bored. I mean,
mm-hmm,
if I define my reality by watching someone else's reality on television, I think that's kind of a sad state of affairs.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the whole idea that people are reading less and they're turning more to TV or YouTube or, computer to kind of entertain them?
Well, I think that kind of affects reading. I mean, you get on the internet and you're reading this article and popping over this and that. I mean, if you read a book, you have to sit down and kind of draw from the world and pull into the author's world. But it's a very slow, you don't have 60 images per second flashing across the television for yourself. So, obviously, for someone who writes and reads, I don't think it's a better thing. But I'm also not going to be a William Buckley highbrow and saying, we're going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
If people are into that, great. Hopefully I'll find a few readers inside who like what I do, and the people who are into YouTube will get into that, and far be it for me to pass judgment on them.
Mm.
I think it does reduce the reading public just because people come up in that environment. They're not, their attention span doesn't lend itself to, I'm going to sit down and read War and Peace this weekend or anything. So does that affect? Absolutely. But far be it for me to say it's good or bad. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great draw for a book like Little Stories. It's a short story collection because, you can sit down for an hour and read one story and then, you're done. And then the next day you can go on to another one. So it's not like a continuous read like a novel. So it's an interesting format.
Well, the next version of it, because I do plan on throwing out, if I write another couple, four or five more short stories, I'd probably just add that and do another version. I'll put a little packet with some Ritalin in it and maybe a shot glass or something. So we'll make it an evening entertainment.
So tell me what your family and your friends are saying about this book.
What
do your teenage kids think about it?
Oh, they're embarrassed for the thing I do.
They're embarrassed?
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. Well, how old are they?
My daughter turned 15 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So really the big event in the house is she gets her learning permit to drive a car as soon as we get her to the DMV. So that was last night's excitement.
Mm-hmm.
honestly, it's tongue-in-cheek. You know, there's one story that I have, let us say, a few dozen friends from back in Illinois, which we still go to homecoming and carouse and party with. And in the darker days of reviews, they may have all found themselves in a situation where they had some professional comfort. And the one story, it's called Most Likely to Succeed, there was one kind of straight-laced fellow Republican who never, ever would be within the stretch of imagination possibly in a situation with a prostitute. So I thought, well, wouldn't it be funny if I write a story about him with the prostitute? So instead of being a romantic clay, it's just total irony.
Mm-hmm.
And so he read that, and he said that his lawyers would be contacting me about defamation, jokingly.
Mm-hmm.
So while happy he was kind of a loosely based character in there, he made that joking comment. So I don't know. You have to ask him.
That's funny. You may lose some friends, but you're going to strengthen some of your friendships.
Well, what is my public declaration that the most likely to succeed is irony. It is not romantic clay.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So let's talk about your website just a little bit here, outskirtspress.com/JRoberts. And what can we find up there?
Narcissism. I put some excerpts from some reviews to try to pique those non-readers into saying, gosh, let's take a look at this. A couple links to buy it off Amazon or Barnes & Noble. There's an interview there, and I will probably put this interview right here if it goes well on there.
Mm-hmm.
And originally there was a summary, but I think it's kind of, if you were on a link somewhere and you read a review and you go to that page, I don't think that you need a summary because you've been summarized by the reviewer. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really the extent of my web authoring capabilities.
That's about it.
I'm a good copy and paste guy.
And so also I noticed on Amazon you have, people can actually do the search inside feature where I think you can read a big part of the first story in your book. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's an Amazon feature. I really, certainly not my idea, but
yeah.
I don't know. I look at it as kind of a gadget, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, interesting. I don't know if you'll sell any books, but, you know, for those people who aren't readers, they might get to play around for a bit.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. Gives people a better idea of who you are and what your book is about. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a wine tasting, but I don't know if it's used as such. I think that if someone read a review and they're going to buy it, whether or not they do a little peek inside, whereas if you're not a reader, you might peek inside and giggle and then leave it.
And leave it. Hmm. Well, let's hope that they buy it.
Yeah.
Well, so, Jeff, it's been great talking with you. Are you doing any book signings or any kind of publicity in your area in the next few months?
I'm doing one December 5th in St. Charles, but I really just, I mean, dare I use the term book prostituting, I use a much more vulgar term when I use it. I'm just getting into that. You know, the first wave is to send out copies for review and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like you have to prime the pump. If you don't have anybody review it, then no one else will review it. And then, so you have to get the first reviews, and then that might get a reviewer to read it a little higher up the food chain. And then you can get those together, you might get a reader. And so this whole promo thing, which is going to take up the mess out of fall, will probably take me through New Year's. So I don't really see much of that reading and stuff till next spring if there's any market for it.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to go to a bookstore and have a signing and have no one show up.
No one show up. Oh, I couldn't imagine that. It's an interesting aspect of writing a book, because promotion, end of things, and marketing is huge, and you have to really devote a lot of time to it once your book just hits the shelf.
Well, you know, I'd love to get in with Favor and have this whole marketing department behind me, but unfortunately with something like Outskirts, it's so small, you have to do it yourself. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'd love to win the lottery and quit my job and you know, hire an au pair of my children and do that, but there's only so many hours in the day, so
mm-hmm.
it's really exhausting. Mm-hmm. Kind of hobby thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting learning process on the first book, you know, and so the second you'll have all of that experience under your belt, and it will be a little different. But
yeah, I was actually in St. Louis a couple weeks ago. Went to a couple free bookstores and said, hey, this is my new book, a local writer, would you sign it? And they you know, nearly slammed the door in my face, and I thought, gosh, this is no fun.
Mm.
You know, you would think that people would kind of want to nurture their local stuff, but that experience was not pleasant, I must say.
Well, too bad for them. That's very unfortunate. Their loss.
Well, I
want to thank you, Jeff, for coming and talking with us today. I'm so happy to have had the chance to talk with you right at the ground level of your writing career. I anticipate big things from you. So
there you are again, clairvoyant again. You know this week's lottery numbers by chance?
Yeah. No, I don't. Sorry. Well, thank you so much. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share with your listeners?
No, just thank you for sitting down and talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll do it again when your novel comes out, for sure, and it'll be interesting to hear what's happened during that time.
Okay.
All right, Jeff. Well, you take care. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right, listeners, that's been Jeff Roberts. His new book, Little Stories, is out now. As you heard, it's available through online booksellers as well as through his website, outskirtspress.com/jroberts. So check out this book. It's very, very interesting, a lot of emotion, a lot of detail, very character-driven stories, and there's something in there that everyone can relate to. So I really suggest that you check out Little Stories. So thank you for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.